Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, Iron fans, and welcome back to the Iron Brew podcast, sponsored by West Green Surveying. Quite a lot to talk about this week, actually, even though we've only played one game in the past few weeks because of postponements and various different shenanigans. Let's get into it, gents. Today, it's Matt Ellis, Matt Blanchard, and making his Iron Brew podcast debut is Alex Cole. You may have seen some of his work on the Iron Brew website. He does do a bit of writing for us now again. He's very, very good at that. So please, welcome, gents. Welcome, Alex. How's it going?
Thank you. Appreciate you inviting me on, and happy to be on. I'm sort of working my way up through the Iron Brew Academy, going from writer to podcaster. So, I'm looking forward to it.
Brilliant. Yeah, we're quite excited to have you on, Alex. You speak a lot of sense for an Iron fan, in these very, very unstable times, shall we say. Good to have you on. As I said, we've got a few bits to talk about, but I think, at the top of the podcast today, we're just going to talk a little bit about Jimmy Dean. I think on Saturday, the game against Peterborough Sports, his old club, of course, it was Jimmy's first anniversary of being the manager of the Iron. It's been, I'm sure Jimmy will admit, it's been very, very interesting, very colourful. And we had a bit of a rough start, but given the sort of situation the club was in, pretty understandable. So, yeah, gents, what do we think? What do we think of a year of Jimmy ball?
Yeah, I mean, it's gone quickly, to be fair. I think when he first came in, we did have high hopes, given his record at Peterborough Sports. And yeah, I mean, it did get off to a bad start, but I think there were other things going on at the club at the time, and the players that we had in the building just weren't really up to it. So it was always going to be a struggle last year. Obviously, I think everyone was disappointed how we kind of threw the towel in towards the end of the season and finished that far adrift in what was really a poor league. However, you look at this season, you can't really ask for much more. I know we've not been particularly great away from home, but, apart from Tamworth, we kind of clear of the rest of the pack. A couple of games in hand over the rest of the league. Obviously, Tamworth are having a great season and kind of exceeding all expectations. I don't think their fans would have expected them to be flying high at the top of the league. So I think we've maybe run into a good side in Tamworth. But, apart from the away form, I think at home we played some really good stuff. And, the record, we can't really moan, to be fair. We've been kind of conditioned to losing over the past four or five seasons. So it's been nice to get some wins on the board and score some goals. So I think overall, given everything that's been going on at the club, it's not been an easy time. And I think any manager really would have probably struggled throughout that period to kind of man management and things like that with the players to keep them sort of playing for the club. All these things going on when they weren't getting paid must have been really difficult. So I think, overall, I think he's done a relatively good job.
I think as well, he's done well to sort of change the fan opinion on him. Because if you think back to that first few months when it was really, really bad, he was struggling as well. You could tell that within the media, the comments he was making, it wasn't going down well with fans at the time. But I think this season, now he's a chance to build his own squad pretty much from scratch in the summer. We could have seen more of Jimmy ball. And he's done well to change the fan opinion. And now a lot of people now, 90%, 95% are on board with him. And I think we trust him to take the club forward.
Yeah, I think it's a good point, Alex, actually, because kind of after we had pretty, sort of poor into the season last year, I was critical of Jimmy on social media. And I think maybe a little bit unfair, because if you think about it, he's made the transition from kind of Peterborough Sports, who were very much a kind of, the kind of club that you'd expect at this level to come into Scunthorpe United. And, we've kind of got the league set up, really, and things like that. So it's obviously been an adjustment for Jimmy to take on the responsibility of managing a club like Scunthorpe United. And I think he's even sort of this early part of the season when we were still very much in turmoil and the Hilton kind of thing was going on in the background and the uncertainty and, you know, the chance that the club was going to go extinct. And obviously, Jimmy had to go in for surgery and stuff like that. You know, there's loads of factors. And something else that's worth mentioning is that managers, Scunthorpe United managers, within the kind of Swan slash Hilton tenure, never really seemed to get a tune out of the players. But Jimmy did get good results early on this season. Give it, he's got a good squad to do that with. But despite the turmoil kind of coming to a head, I think he very much steered the team through that. And I think he deserved quite a lot of credit for that. You know, whether he's the man to steer us, you know, kind of back to the Football League, which very much remains to be seen. But I think given the situation and the club kind of end of last season, this season, I think that he comes out with a lot of credit the way he's kind of, you know, steered the club through it in a sense. And I think you can tell he's very proud to be Scunthorpe United manager, and that does come through in his interviews, you know, and things like that. And kind of early on when he was the first in the job, he was like, this is amazing, I'm Scunthorpe United manager and stuff like that. And I think that there's still an element of that there at the minute, when you can tell he's very passionate about it. And I think something you've got to credit Jimmy for is his teams and his players sort of 95% of the time will give everything for the shirt. You know, there's no slacking, there's no kind of abdication of responsibility on the pitch, which was kind of a hallmark of sort of maybe the Swan era towards the end and stuff like that. So I think that, you know, we don't see that anymore. We've got players that have been picked and they're very committed, and they do give 100% for the most part when they're on the pitch, which is down to Jimmy as well. So, you know, when we're in full flow and Jimmy Ball's working, it's really nice to watch. Obviously, there's some things that aren't perfect. And as you said, Matt, the away form this season on the whole has been a bit hit and miss. However, in the last few kind of games, you know, apart from the Brackley game, we've been getting points on the board away from home. So I think that's starting to turn as well. So, yeah, it's been an interesting year, hasn't it? It's been crazy. No other managers, you know, in Scunthorpe history or in many kind of histories of clubs in the English football pyramid are going to have to experience what Jimmy has as a football manager. So I think, you know, fair play to him on that. And hopefully he is the man to take us up this season.
I think one of the things for me that's been really good is the fact that, you know, after games and things like that, the players are now interacting with the fans a little bit more. And I think, you know, towards the end of Swan's time, it just didn't happen. I think there may be the odd events, and I know they went into the schools and things like that. But, you know, at the minute, short of Christmas, they were at the kids' party, and just things like that, where previous years, you know, the players have been very quick to get in the cars and drive off, you know, straight after games and not really interact with the fans. I think that's something that Jimmy has really kind of understood, that, you know, the fans are a massive part of Scunthorpe United. And I think given what's happened, it's probably been a little bit easier with all the unpaid wages, the fundraiser and things like that. I think, you know, that the players really did appreciate that. And I think obviously all the staff did. And I think that obviously helped to bring kind of everyone closer together as well. But I think there's been a definite focus on trying to kind of get the players integrated again with the fans. Because, you know, thinking back to sort of when Atkins was here and even Lawsy to some extent, the players were in the Iron Bar after the game, or they was up in the exec lounge, and, you know, win, lose or draw. And I think we've interviewed players who have said they were in there and they took a bit of stick, but, you know, it was all kind of something that they wanted to do. So I think that's definitely been a plus point. The players deserve credit for that as well, because, you know, they don't have to do that. But I think it's been appreciated. And I think some of the fan comments as well after, you know, the Christmas, the race night as well with the directors there, I think it just shows that everyone's kind of trying to turn the club round, sort of on and off the pitch.
Not many Scunthorpe United managers since Atkins have made a year in charge, so we've done well for that as well.
Yeah, they seem to live charm lives, don't they? That kind of continuity for a year is something that we're not really used to, are we? And I think at the minute, the kind of the opinion of Iron fans is very much, you know, they support Jimmy and at the moment. So it's kind of good to see. So, yeah, that's good. So that's a year of Jimmy Ball. We did play at the weekend against Peterborough, but there was another game on the Tuesday night, which didn't go ahead. I feel sorry for any Iron fan who kind of travelled and was witness to that shit show. I didn't travel. I was about to buy my Jumian ticket, and then somebody tweeted saying that they think the game's off. So I kind of held fire on that and saved myself a tenner. But I know you went, or you tried to go, Alex. Kind of sum that one up for us.
Yeah. So, I mean, all day, obviously the storm, whatever it was, Storm Isha, Storm Joe, whatever it was, was brewing, and you think, man, maybe there's a chance of the game off. But as we could tell, the weather wasn't too bad in Darlington around midday and into the afternoon. So we set off into the evening. We get there about 7 o'clock. Absolutely torrential rain, winds blowing all over at 90 miles an hour. So we just sort of sat in the car, get out of the car, make our way out the car park into the away end. And got about 10 yards, and the steward stopped and said, "Don't bother, mate, turn around and go back home, because he just called it off." So that was our experience with Darlington away, and there was a bit of back and forth, 10 minutes sort of stood, no one really knew what was going on. Stewards were getting mixed messages, and the game was off at 7:30, 15 minutes before it was about to kick off.
Yeah, it's not ideal, is it? it's sort of unheard of, really.
But you could tell as soon as we got there at 7, I sent a message to Matt saying, "I think there's absolutely no chance this game's going to go ahead. Or it's either going to go ahead and it's going to get abandoned halfway through." And but it sounds like if we'd have just left it another sort of half an hour, I think the pitch probably would have been playable, because I think that's what the feeling was. I think Turnbull went on Umberside not long after they cancelled it. And he said if we'd left it another half an hour, the pitch would have been fine. I think 80 to 90% of the pitch was playable. It was just 10% in the middle that the ref didn't like, and the ref just hastily called it off. Didn't fancy it.
I think it's difficult because obviously Scunny took a lot of stick for calling the Tamworth game off early. And, you know, who knows the pitch? The pitch was obviously frozen. And I think, Matt, you were down there, weren't you, last week?
While they were
looking at the pitch, and it was clearly frozen under the covers. So would it have thawed out, you know, by the weekend? I'm not too sure, to be honest, especially at the away end. But, you know, Scunny took a lot of stick for calling that one off early. Darlington obviously wanted to give it a chance. But, you know, could that have been called off earlier? I know Gateshead, you know, just up the road, they called it off sort of mid-afternoon, which would have helped Scunny fans travelling. Because, you know, it's not a really long way, is it, to Darlington? But, you know, if they'd have called it off at 3 o'clock or something like that, it might have helped looking at the forecast. But yeah, I mean, it sounds like it would have been playable if they'd give it a little bit more time, and just frustrating. But I think that's it. You know, it's very difficult to get it right. Who's to say Scunthorpe pitch wouldn't have been playable on the Saturday? And you know, if Darlington had given it another half an hour, maybe that could have gone ahead as well. But I think at the end of the day, it's up to the referee, isn't it? And apparently the referee's assessor was there as well, and they both agreed to call it off. So yeah, it's one of them. It's obviously frustrating for the fans that made the trip. I looked out the window sort of lunchtime, and I just thought, I'm not gonna risk it. I just had a feeling it might be off, and especially with the forecast. And it's just one of those, but unfortunate given the timing of it. And yeah, it's just another game now that we need to get in and play midweek. And you know, we've obviously got a couple of games in hand with Blythe that we've still got to play as well, Tamworth midweek. So yeah, they're kind of stacking up a little bit, so there'll be a few Saturday Tuesdays in the coming weeks. And I think really, if you look at the league table, you look at kind of upcoming games, that kind of run of fixtures probably will go a long way to kind of settle in who's gonna come out and win the league. But yeah, I don't know. There's not a lot you can say. I mean, it wasn't great weather. But yeah, just feel sorry for the ones that travelled.
If we follow the Tamworth fans' line of thought, then Darlington found a few injuries in the afternoon and got the game off by the evening.
Well, there was a bit of a meltdown, wasn't there, for the from the Tamworth fans on Twitter regarding us calling the game off. But like, you know, let's be honest, we only really had one injury, and that was kind of Butterfield's concussion thing. Obviously Whitehall was suspended, but yeah, I was as you said, Matt, I was down at the club literally as it got kind of called off, and the pitch was kind of frozen solid, and it was absolutely fucking freezing as well. It wasn't just cold, it was like really, really, really cold, you know what I mean? Obviously because a lot of the pitch doesn't get sun, does it? So it makes it more difficult to kind of to thaw it out or whatever. But yeah, it's just one of those. And I think, to be fair, you know, there was obviously advantages to us calling the Tamworth game off, because obviously Whitehall was out and he was kind of an integral part of, you know, how Jimmy Ball works. So, you know, that they would have thought, oh, you know, White will be back when we replay him, you know, Butterfield will be back, you know, and stuff like that. Obviously kind of Tamworth, they drew on the, I think the game after against Boston, at home that they won this weekend again, of course, because they just keep winning. It's unbelievable. Fair play to him, obviously, but yeah, I think that there was probably a little bit of a kind of a tactical edge to that. And I think, you know, it's just the way it is, isn't it? We're not doing anything wrong within the laws. It's like the pitch was not playable at the time that it was called off. And as you said, at least it meant that, you know, no Tamworth fans had to travel. It was a real shame, though. I was looking forward to it. It was going to be, you know, a really good crowd and stuff like that. And I think Tamworth, you know, sold quite a lot of tickets, to be fair to him, given that they only get, like, what, like 1,000 home games and stuff like that. So, yeah, like, fair play to him. It's just one of those things.
Yeah, I mean, financially, I think we wanted the game on. I think that was, obviously, if you ask Jimmy, he would probably prefer players to be back and to have a bit more of a squad to select from. But I'm sure if you ask the board, they would want it played, and they were looking at potentially 5,000. Are they going to get that on Tuesday? Highly unlikely. You can probably shave, I don't know, at least 500-600 off that, maybe more, on Tuesday night. So I'm sure people at the board and everyone wanted the game on. But I mean, these things happen. We've had it plenty of times when we've been, you know, I think Sheffield United did it once, didn't they? Called it off. They had four or five players missing. We were flying, and all of a sudden, you know, the paths around the stadium were unsafe. Nothing to do with the pitch, but it was the surrounding area and things like that. And I think Charlton. I remember going down.
Charlton. I was about to mention that.
Yeah, I think we got to about Barnet, and then we turned round, but. Yeah, other teams have done it to us in the past, and as you say, Matt, the pitch genuinely was frozen. There's no denying it was frozen. They had the covers on. It's not like they left the covers off and been watering it all week. It was just one of the things. I mean, it was freezing. I think it got down to sort of -5, -6 locally, and unfortunately, those frost covers, they're not great, are they? I think they protect it to a certain level, but. When you get temperatures,
just a bit of tarp in it.
Ultimately, you can't fight nature, so
exactly
to get the game off. So, and exactly. I think just on financially as well, I think you only have to look down the club's Twitter feed every day. I seem to be seeing about the posting about refunds for Tamworth, and they're overwhelmed with how many requests again. So that just shows how much the club's going to lose out from the game being off.
Yeah, they will. But if it turns out to be, you know, a shrewd tactical choice. Given the circumstances, you know, the promotion is worth more than one gate, isn't it? So it's one of them, like, I don't know, everything's kind of above board. There's nothing dodgy going here. The Tamworth fans just kind of lost their mind because the pitch was frozen solid. So what do they want to do? You can't play on concrete, can you? So
the only thing they could have done was, you know, I think they were hoping that we'd do a pitch inspection in the morning and there might be a chance that it was on, but... But yeah, I think if it's frozen, it's frozen. I honestly don't think it would have thawed out in time. I think that's just, yeah, it's in the shade. It was still cold. It was still sort of just above freezing, wasn't it, at night? So yeah, I don't think there was any chance that they could have got it on.
Yeah, absolutely. I think given we're still on the topic of Glanford Park, or the Attis Arena as it's now called, do we want to talk about the wrap again? Because I've seen a bit more on kind of Twitter and social about the wrap. And it's obviously, you know, if you're not aware, the cladding's being put up, and on the side of Glanford Park, you know, kind of closest to the entrance, facing the road and the roundabout, we've now got kind of a nice big kind of the Attis Arena signage. Looks a lot smarter than it did, in my opinion. That's been done, and obviously the wrap's been removed. And I think I had a bit of a Twitter convo with an Iron fan who was a bit upset about it being removed and stuff like that. And I think that I understand the sentimentality behind it, but kind of the financial gain of being able to, you know, kind of sell the naming rights to your stadium for sponsorship very, very much kind of are part of the plans to make the club more sustainable. And that's the kind of investment from local firms and local businesses that we need. And we won't survive without that. I think Michelle's been very clear about that. We need the business community and the wider community in Scunthorpe and surrounding areas to be able to chip in and be able to invest and, you know, kind of come to games and stuff like that. And I think some Iron fans probably maybe don't realise the sort of extreme levels of debt that the club was left in when Hilton resigned, if you like. He's obviously kind of brought on a huge wage bill, you know, all this sort of stuff. He's never paid any bills. He didn't pay pensions, you know, he didn't pay wages. You know, he's writing a blank check, and he knew he was never going to pay for any of it. And all that is now still debt incumbent on the club, and that needs to be cleared. And only through these sustainable practices of bringing on local businesses and bringing investment and sponsoring everything and, you know, getting the ground sponsors, can we survive and move forward as a club? And I think that once Iron fans realise the kind of the actual extreme level of that, I mean, I've not been kind of privy to the sheets and stuff like that, but Matt, I think you probably know a little bit more about it, but you'll agree with me that, you know, we have been recently under quite crippling debt, and these kind of sponsorships help to keep the club alive.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. And I think, Michelle, yeah, the board didn't hide from the amount of debt. It was over $1 million, wasn't it? I think they said that in one of the statements.
Yeah.
And things like this. I understand, obviously, the RAB, you know, we mentioned it last time, really good memories on there. But, you know, unfortunately, the club are in a position where they need to raise as much money as possible. The sponsorship deal, although I don't know the exact amount that Attis have paid, it's a considerable amount of money. You know, we're not talking a couple of thousand. They've paid a hell of a lot of money into the club. And, you know, the only reason they want to do that, they want to give back to the town, and they want to help not just support the club, but help the club survive. And that was part of it. You know, they obviously want the branding up there, absolutely fine. I think obviously the new cladding they've put up looks fine. It's replaced some of the old stuff. It's been placed on top of some of the old stuff, which was obviously looking a bit dated. And I know, you know, it's very difficult to make sort of that kind of cladding look good. You know, what can you do, really? I mean, it's, people are saying it looks bland, but at the end of the day, there's not a massive amount you can do. And I think it looks a lot smarter when you're driving in now. I think it looks good. They're going to go across the top of the Iron Bar next, I believe, at some stage. Obviously, they've got to finance it. And I think there are some local businesses and people that have been helping out to kind of get that corner done. Obviously, if they can go across the top of the Iron Bar and round kind of the right-hand side of the Donny Road end, I think that kind of tidies it up. Obviously, there's still a lot more to do, and I'm sure if there was a bottomless pit of money, you know, I'm sure they would do it all. Unfortunately, it's not a massive priority at the minute, but at least it tidies that part of the ground up, and it brings the funds in. I mean, that's ultimately the main thing. And I think anyone, I've seen some ridiculous comments really this week on Facebook and various, you know,
surprised there. Well,
half of the past.
But yeah, exactly. But I've seen some ridiculous comments, you know, bragging that. That they sponsored the stadium and things. Oh, what a load of nonsense. You know, every sponsorship deal's like that. Every club tries to get naming rights because, you know, it's another income stream for the club. And, you know, the fans, really, we should be grateful that we've got people like Joe that are willing to put in a massive amount of money, you know, to help the club survive, because that's ultimately what he's done. And, you know, if it means we're bringing down the RAB that was obviously old and dated, and, you know, it probably needed replacing anyway to put a sign up. I'm really not bothered. I think that's, you know, people have got to remember that not long ago we were looking at, you know, no football club. So, yeah, no issues from my side. And yeah, I think once they get a little bit more of it done, I think it is going to look a lot smarter than it does at the moment. But again, it's just finding the time, finding the money to do it. But I'm sure, you know, it's on a long list of things that they're hoping to do. And, you know, if it all comes to fruition, then I think, you know, it'll be a bit nicer down there.
Yeah, I think you're right. It's just a massive fuss over nothing and just moaning for moaning's sake. I mean, how many times do we sit and stare at the ground anyway? I mean, we're inside the ground watching the football. Who cares what it looks like on the outside?
Exactly, yeah, exactly. I think it's just one of the, there's not a lot you can do with it. I know you could probably paint it and things like that, but at the end of the day, I think it's pointless. I think it looks fine as it is.
Yeah, it's a standard football league ground. It's a tin can, isn't it? That's got a pitch in it. It's our tin can, though, isn't it? And I think that's the main thing. And, you know, as you said, Alex, you don't really give a shit what the outside of the ground looks like when you're watching what's going on the pitch. And I think they'd have a lot more to moan about if we weren't sort of second in the league and challenging for promotion, wouldn't we?
If Joe wants to stick his face on the outside of the ground for some extra money, he can do that.
Can for me, to be fair, you know. Getting one of them blue fuzzy hats is what I'm joking. No, absolutely, absolutely. You know, the fact that businesses and people are willing to invest this kind of money in Scunthorpe United to help keep it alive is the absolute main point here. And we need to be thankful for that, because they are part of kind of, you know, the mechanism, the part of the cogs that are keeping the club moving. And I think that they, of course, they need to be commended for that. And, you know, I don't give a shit what Gonfield Park is called. It's called the Attis Arena, if it's called the Sands Venue, if it's called, I don't know,
the Dave Hilton Arena.
Exactly, you know. Yeah, the Hilton Arena. You know, it makes no real difference. They pay their money, they get the sign on the outside. That seems like a good exchange to me. You know, we have had a game. We've not talked about it yet. We're about, what, 20 minutes into this? Maybe half an hour. We still haven't talked about any real football yet. So we played Peterborough Sports on Saturday. 1-0 win. So, you know, our away form has been kind of something that's been kind of, you know, spoken about a lot by fans. It's not been great, but, you know, in the past few away games, barring the Brackley game, we've been kind of turning around some kind of positive away results. You know, obviously we beat Farsley, we absolutely hammered Hereford. You know, we got a point at Buxton, and you know, obviously we beat Peterborough
Park as well.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, so it's looking better. You know, any win, any clean sheet, 1-0 away from home is still decent. You know, even if the performance was shit, you know, it's about getting 3 points on the board. You know, because obviously if we had lost against Peterborough at the weekend, you know, you're looking at kind of an insurmountable lead against Hamlet, but we're very much in touch with the game coming up on Tuesday and two games in hand. So everything is kind of, you know, where we can control it. So, you know, what did you guys think about the performance?
I mean, I don't think it was shit, as I've seen that sometimes described. I think the pitch was, although it looked great, it was very, very difficult to play on. It was bobbly all over. Peter didn't offer much. We managed the game really well after taking the goal. Robert took his goal really well. And we sort of very limited them to very, very little really throughout the game. I think the only chance they really had was in the first 5 minutes when Fitzsimmons was caught out. He went to put it out for throw and didn't get back to his goal in time, and Noble cleared it off the line. But apart from that, I don't remember ever feeling worried or concerned that they might score.
Yeah, to be fair, I agree with that. I think we managed it really well. I mean, it was a bit scrappy. I think first half in particular, we were really sloppy on the ball. I think Ogle gave it away quite a few times early on. I don't know, we just seemed to panic a little bit in the first sort of 10, 15 minutes. I think with the Fitzsimmons, obviously, he got caught out a little bit. And, you know, I wish he wouldn't do that because he's obviously carrying a bit of an injury as well. I think it's pretty obvious he's carrying an injury. I know he went down the last home game, didn't he, for some treatment, and he was struggling a bit again yesterday, hobbling round. And when you're kind of 40 yards out of your goal and you've got to try and make your way back, yeah, it's difficult. He didn't really need to race out that far at that time. But, you know, it is what it is. He's usually quite quick off his line and he normally gets there, to be fair. And yeah, it was just unfortunate. But yeah, I think overall, I think their striker, big lad, went off quite early with a bit of a head injury. He didn't look particularly happy to be going off. I'm not sure why he did.
That's a bit odd, to be honest.
Yeah.
I'm not really sure why he actually went off.
Yeah, because they seem to have the sub ready and he wasn't keen to go off. But yeah, I think the physio had obviously made the call and he went off. And I think, to be fair, he was quite a handful. I think he won one header. I think he just put it wide. But actually, it was the one where he got injured. You know, it was dangerous ball in and it was decent effort attacking the ball. And I think, you know, he was causing Evans a few problems. But I think after that, once he went off, they didn't really have much up front. Although I thought they were decent. You know, they moved the ball relatively well, played some decent football on that pitch without really causing too many issues and forcing any real chances. I know it bobbled around a few times, but nothing real clear cut. So I think, yeah, you're right. I think we managed it pretty well. Obviously, we got the goal. And I think second half, when Butterfield came on, I think we found a bit more space and it was a shame. I mean, we had a few chances in the second half. We had at least.
Yeah, I mean, it looked like more we was going to score the next goal before they did. I think we were the ones pushing.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think when Butterfield came on, Wilson got into it a bit more. I think, you know, his end product was a little bit poor. Obviously, Elliot could have had a couple again and poor finishing, I would say. And Scales had a couple as well. So I think we had the chances to kind of maybe win it a bit more convincingly. But at the end of the day, I think, you know, at the end, we were quite happy taking it into the corners and seeing the game out. And yeah.
Something by Sean up front.
Yeah. Yeah, but you take the 1-0 and you move on. A bit scrappy, but yeah, it was important we got the win, given Tamworth got their win as well. And as you say, Matt, we can only control what we're doing at the moment. And yeah, we just need to kind of keep up with them. Obviously, Tuesday is the big one, but it was important we won that one yesterday to keep in touch.
I think just quickly as well, obviously the only negative was Al Roberts going off injured. I think it was just a bit of a weird one, wasn't it? It was about half an hour in, it was just bouncing around. He just went through it and off goes his hamstring. He pulled it straight away, didn't he? And you could see straight away it was a lot.
It's
really disappointing after he missed so much at the start of the season with the ankle injury. Obviously, it's been signed a big reputation, did very well at Notts County in the division above. You assume he'd be one of our highest paid players. Obviously, we knew that he struggled with injuries at both at County and then when he went to Aberdeen. We've obviously took a bit of a risk signing him, and it's just obviously massively disappointing and frustrating for the boy. Nothing he can do. It's just one of them things, unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, at the early part of the season, you were worried he wasn't going to play at all. Picking up these injuries, and he's obviously come back and he's just got back fit, really. I think he would just kind of find a bit of form. I think that Boston game, obviously first half he was unplayable, that was the best we've seen him. And, you know, he's been popping up with a few goals here and there as well. And I think we're going to miss him. And I think that's just, you know, he's one of our better players. You look at kind of what we've got at the moment. Obviously, Wilson came back in there yesterday. We're short of options now, and I think it could be time that Dion comes back. And again, it's difficult because obviously with the finances and things like that, they're trying to juggle it at the moment. Pugh's come back, so now you know you've took on another wage there, because I think Hereford were paying at least some of his wages, if not all. So you know, we've brought him back. That's another couple of grand a month, and then you know there's potential to bring Dion back. I think we're going to have to. I think that's
another option.
Yeah, you know, we can't sign anyone. We've obviously lost Smith, which was a big blow. I would imagine Roberts, it's not going to be a couple of weeks.
It's not going to be anytime soon, is it?
Nah, I think you're looking at probably 4 to 6 weeks if it's relatively.
It's just pull. Obviously, yeah. With the Simba beasting, obviously, I think he ended up tearing his hamstring in the end and missed 4 months.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So best case, you know, I don't think we're going to see him again for another month or so.
Maybe we can try and get him back for the running. I think that's what we're trying to save him for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But yeah, I think Dion coming back now is a bit of a no-brainer, really. Just hopefully that they can get the finances sorted and they can do something. Because I think now, you know, we are very short out wide. I guess Elliot could play out there if needed. And actually, that might suit us a little bit better at the moment. With Whitehall coming back. So that's probably an option that they can look at. And I know he's done okay out there on a couple of occasions when he's played. So, it's something Jimmy will probably be thinking about.
I think when Jimmy was asked yesterday, I think he gave it a maybe when Ollie said that you're going to try and bring him back. So sounds like he's something that will obviously be seriously considered going into tomorrow and then Tuesday. And it sounds like he's done really well at Peterborough. So he's obviously going to come back in good form. I think I seen a tweet from a Scarborough fan last week saying that Semifero is one of the better players that he's seen at Scarborough this season. So
yeah, he's been playing, hasn't he, regularly, and he's been popping up with a few goals as well. I think, I'm sure, sort of like early part of the season, wasn't he injured? Did he have an injury?
It sort of rolled over from last season. I think he injured his ankle last year. I think he had something really bad on his ankle, and they decided not to operate on it, not until pre-season. They thought it'd be all right, but he'd come back pre-season. I think he just broke down. I think he ended up having an ankle operation. So he ended up missing the start of the season, which pushed him out of favour. And that's why he ended up going out on loan. Obviously, Jimmy said, I think, yesterday as well, that they missed Dion yesterday. And you could tell as well that they missed him. They did miss that final bit of quality that a player like him can produce. So I think it's more than likely he will end up coming back.
Yeah, I like him, actually. From what I saw in bits, he looked pretty good. And that was when he was just coming back from fitness. And this is one of the kind of things, isn't it? You send these players out on loan, they're going to be first teamers in this league. You know, obviously Pugh's got his match fitness. He's been scoring. He's been getting man of the match performances for Hereford. We bring him back in. And Dion, again, has been one of the better players at Peterborough Sports, and he's coming back in fully fit and firing, isn't he? So it's good to be able to bring players in that kind of state. So I'm not sure if they'll do it kind of early this week, or maybe wait another week and just let him get maybe another game or another couple of games, because we know Elliot's fully fit and.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
He's been playing, you know, and he kind of started the season off in the channel on the left, didn't he? So we know he can do it, and he's got a bit of pace. And I think he actually, I know it's probably not his preferred position, but I quite like Elliott out there. Now Whitehall's going to be back, and, you know, you pretty much guarantee Whitehall's going to start on Tuesday. So it'll be interesting to see how Jimmy plays it, because obviously we know Beeston can play on the left if need be, and Jimmy does like him out there. So we do have options, and given that obviously Law's kind of injured as well, isn't he? So I think that kind of plays into it. If Law was fit, I think kind of Dion would stay with him where he is. But I think you're probably right. He's probably going to be back in the next, if not imminently, maybe in the next week or so. But it'd be good to see him. He's quite an exciting player, you know. I like watching him. So be good to see him back. But, you know, again, it's not ideal having a few injuries when we're, you know, Saturday, Tuesday. We need everybody fit. Let's just hope that Roberts' injury isn't as bad as it looks. Sometimes it does happen like that. You know, maybe he was a little bit cautious. But we'll have to see.
I think with Dion, the only thing is whether there's a clause in there that they can bring him back, or whether it's, you know, a certain time frame they've got to wait. I don't know. I know Pugh has.
It's just 24 hours, isn't it? I think that's where it was with Pugh and Hereford.
Yeah.
We called him last Monday and then he was ready for Tuesday night.
Yeah, so if it's the same as Pugh, then it should be okay. But I don't know. You don't know the kind of the terms of the deals that they signed. But yeah, I think it's probably needs must now. And I think, as you say, Matt, he's shown glimpses. I think he's had a couple of decent, you know, sub appearances. When there was one night game when him and Elliott came on and they linked up really well and they looked quite good. And then
the Darlow game, I think.
Yeah, I think it probably was. And I think then he played the Curzon game and he just didn't quite get into it. I think he started that game. He was poor that day, to be fair. But, you know, they all were. So yeah, I think it's probably needs must. But yeah, it'd be interesting to see what happens. I think we still have options, but it's not ideal. And I think, to be honest, things haven't particularly been going our way for the last few weeks with injuries and things like that. Obviously, we had the Whitehall red card, which, you know, their bloke's overturned, Whitehall isn't. We've had Roberts. You know, we've had a few of these where, you know, it's not quite going our way. So, yeah, hopefully we get a bit of luck on the injury front soon, because, like you say, with Law as well, he's really been in and out with injuries. He's not really had a big, long run inside. He's had a few niggling injuries this season. So, yeah, it's a shame. And I think this is the kind of time now where we've kind of got a couple of games midweek where we need as many players as we can fully fit. And it's just not the case at the moment. So, yeah, it's not the end of the world. We've still got some good players, but I think it's starting to show a little bit that we're thin, especially sort of out wide, I think, definitely. But, yeah, I think with Butterfield coming back now from injury, and that was another one with Butterfield, with the, you know, the, it was a strange one, that one, with the concussion or whatever. So, yeah, I think we've got some players coming back, but obviously we still are a bit short.
Yeah, and obviously we've had a couple of weeks off, haven't we, prior to the Peterborough game, which means that some of these players, you know, the whole squad, other than the injuries, should be, you know, decently rested, I'd say. You know, obviously Whitehall's a big player for us. He's had a few weeks out, and obviously Butterfield has as well. So you're getting a Butterfield who was fully fit anyway, but of course the concussion, no kind of damage to his football appendages, if you like. He's coming back fully fit. You know, and well rested as well, so that's good to see. And I think because we've not played at Garnford Park for a few weeks, the grass might have grown a little bit. You know it's been very cold, but the surface will have improved. And I know the club were doing some work to the surface. I think it was last week. So you know, I think that kind of bodes well against the Tamworth team. You know, they are quite physical and they are quite direct. They do play some football that you know, so it'd be interesting to see what we go with. Given all that in the mix, it's you know, anybody's best guess what kind of Jimmy's going to decide on Tuesday. But you know, as long as he gets it right, nobody really cares. And I think we're talking Tamworth. We're talking Tamworth now, and we've had a few questions about kind of talking about the run-in with Tamworth, because you know their form has been absolutely unbelievable. You know, they've kind of won 7 in a row. What I think they've won 8 out of the last 9 with a 0-0 draw at home to Boston, I believe. Obviously, they beat Spennymoor 2-0 with 2 of the softest goals you'll ever see on Saturday. You know, have a look. Shocking. But anyway, hopefully we're not as charitable on Tuesday. But, you know, Tamworth very much deserve to be where they are. Their form has been unbelievable. And let's not forget, Tamworth were promoted last season to this league. So it's some feat, isn't it? But they've lost one of their best players, their centre midfielder. I think it's Jamie Jealous, if I get his name right.
Went to Walsall.
Gone to Walsall for some money. So again, he's one of their best players. And they, you'd obviously drew at home to Boston. Boston, not a bad side. We obviously lost to Boston at home, but drew to all. My mistake. It felt like a loss because it was so late on. But you know, so I think Tamworth. Very, it absolute kind of come out of nowhere, really. Obviously, we beat them on the first game of the season, and I think let's look at the run in then, because I think this is going to determine who goes up. Obviously, it is, but you know, the idea is that Tamworth have got some softer game. Sorry, we've got the softer games towards the end of the season, and we've very much had the harder games recently. So, Tamworth's run in is. I'm just going to list them off here. Obviously, we play them on Tuesday. Then they're away to Alfreton and on Saturday, home to Farsley, away to Hereford, away to Chorley, at home to Curzon, at home to Blyth, away to Scarborough, away to Gloucester, at home to Chester, away to King's Lynn, at home Bishop Stortford, away to Brackley, at home to Warrington, at home to South Shield, and away at Banbury for the final game of the season. Now, in comparison, our run-in is... at home to Rushall, away to Blyth, at home to Curzon, away to Scarborough, away to South Shields, at home to Alfreton, at home to Chester, away to Bishop Stortford, away to Spennymoor, home to Banbury, away to Warrington, at home to King's Lynn, away to Southport, home to Hereford, home to Blyth, and away at Gloucester. So you can see the thinking there. It does seem to be that our running is favourable. But, you know, at the end of the day, we've got to turn up and beat every team that's in front of us if we're serious about our promotion credentials.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you look at some of their fixtures, they've got quite a few of the top sort of 7-8 away from home.
They've got, just quickly, they've got 5 of them in the next 6, 5 of them in the top half. So
yeah, and I think
you could see the gap shortening in the next 6 games, to be honest.
Yeah, and I think we've played some of those sort of in the last sort of 5 or 6 games. I think with... they've got a couple coming up that are quite tricky. I think Alfreton, I know they're just outside the playoffs at the minute, but that's a really difficult place to go. They win more often than not at home, don't they, Alfreton? They seem to win a lot of the home games. So, yeah, they've got a tricky kind of run coming up. I think, obviously, Tuesday, I think they're probably going to come on Tuesday and hope, you know, probably make it difficult for us. I think they, you know, they won't want to lose it, but I think they'd take a draw. And I think, you know, if they... I'm not saying they're going to come and sit back, but I do think they'll make it difficult because they'll know that we have struggled to break teams down that have done that. So I think, you know, it makes sense for them that they've got the cushion. You know, they just don't want to lose the game. But I think after that, you know, we've got a decent enough running. I think obviously, you know, there's a lot of football to be played. I think Jimmy said yesterday, looking at it, did he say he wanted to win 14 or 15 of the remaining game? I know we can do it. I mean, when you look at it, you've got to remember, you know, we've won a lot of games already this season. We've won 17, haven't we? But it does seem quite a lot. And I know you can get on a run and in the end, I'm thinking sort of promotion season's gone by. You just eventually kind of get on a run and they're just ticking off and you just one win after the other. It's certainly going to be interesting, but I do think it's going to go right down to sort of the last couple of games. I think we will claw that back. You know, we've got the couple of games in hand anyway. We've obviously got to go and do the business in those games. But I think, you know, if we want to win the league, then we've got to go to these places, Blyth, and, you know, get a result in Darlington, obviously, and get a result, which, you know, we're more than capable of doing. So I think, yeah, definitely, if you look on paper, they've probably got the harder running. But I think, you know, there's some other teams that are going to have a big say in it. We've obviously got to play some of that some of that top seven as well. You know, we've got to play pretty much all of them, haven't we? I think, apart from Brackley again. So, you know, because we're at home with quite a few of those, you'd expect us, you know, we've beaten a lot of the best sides, or, you know, as and when we've faced them, they've been up near the top of the table. We've turned most of them over at home. So we should be okay. But I think, yeah, it's definitely going to come down to the wire. And I think it's going to be quite exciting, really. But again, I mean, the pressure's off them a little bit, I think, because they never, or, you know, the fans didn't really expect them to be where they are. Maybe if you ask the manager and the players, he thought they might have a good chance. But I think the pressure's really on us chasing them. And I think I just hope that we can handle it. But I think yesterday was a good marker because we needed to win that game. Obviously, scrappy game, and we get the 1-0. And, you know, we're going to have to do that a few more times before the end of the season, I'm sure.
I think as well, even though we have proven that we can win a lot of games this season, it's much easier to win games in September, October, November than it is March, April time. And even though on paper you'd say we have the easier running, although it is, I think we've still got all the bottom six to play, they're fighting to stay up. So they're going to fight and scrap for every single point available. And then when they play, also be fighting and scrapping for that point to try and stay up. So I think every game's going to be difficult. I think looking at it and going, well, we've got an easier running. I think it's just going to be, can we handle it and can we win the game to get the job done?
Yeah, I think they've kind of, the other factor is that we're currently under transfer embargo. And I think that if we weren't, times like now, we've just had a few injuries, we'd be looking at strengthening. So you've obviously, in this league, you can sign players any time of the year.
Isn't there a cut off in the National League anyway? Is it about March time?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I don't know. Is it the first Thursday in March? It might be the last one.
You might be right.
I'm pretty sure there's some sort of deadline.
Yeah, I think it's later, isn't it, than obviously everyone else. But I think there definitely is when it comes. I think it must be sometime in March. But I think last year we were signing players pretty late. And obviously a few players left, didn't they? Once they come into the club, they left pretty soon after. So, I think... And he signed for Alfreton, hasn't he? I think he was in team of the week this week.
In the last minute.
I think he probably fits their kind of style of play, to be honest. I think he did quite well there. But just on the embargo, I think obviously it relates to quite a few things, but it relates mainly to the football debts. And I believe there's still probably around, I mean, this isn't exact, I don't know the actual figures, but around a third of what there was left to pay. They've still got a third left, so they've paid two thirds of it. They've still got a third left to pay. So I don't know. I don't know the time frame for how long they think, you know, they need to clear that. Obviously, it would be nice to have that option to, you know, even if it was just a couple of loan players or, I don't know, just to kind of get us over the line. But unfortunately, we've not got that. You know, I think when Swan was here, when we had interviews with him and things like that, he was kind of saying, you know, January is the time. You know, if you need to strengthen, if you need to do this, we can just get a couple of players in. Whichever end of the table you're at, and you know he did do that. To be fair, whether it was at the top or the bottom, it didn't always work. But you had that option to kind of bring players in, and I think it does hamper us a little bit because you know these teams can get players in. Obviously, Tamworth have lost a player; they might lose. Is it Finn the other one that the
Swans he's got 11 or 12 goals I think from midfield. So.
Yeah, so I think they've got a couple that could potentially go, but they've also got the option to replace them and bring players in, whereas at the moment we've got to go with what we've got. And although we've got a decent squad, you know, injuries are mounting up, you're probably going to have suspensions between now and the end of the season. You're playing Saturday, Tuesday, you might want to freshen up a little bit, but at the moment I don't think it's going to be possible. I don't know when they'll be able to pay that off, but obviously the main thing is really, although it would be nice to get it paid, and it might, you know, it might come down to that, you know, if we pick up quite a few injuries, we're not able to bring anyone in. You only have to look at Southend. You know, they were struggling to kind of field the team at one point because they weren't allowed to bring anyone in. The National League are obviously very strict on the rules. If there's still football debt, if there's still debt to HMRC, there's a transfer embargo and that's it. And unfortunately, that's where we are. It's obviously not the current board's fault. They're trying to resolve it, but it's probably going to take a little bit of time. So, yeah, it's, I don't know, could it come down to that? You know, if Tamworth are able to maybe sign a couple of players or whatever. Could it play a part in the kind of title race? I don't know. It could potentially, but at the end of the day, you know, we can only do what we can do. And I personally don't think it's going to be lifted anytime soon, but we'll have to see.
On the upside, we've not lost anybody in January.
No. No.
To other clubs.
Still 3 days.
Yeah, true, but not yet.
I'd be surprised if we had any interest, to be honest, in any amount from the Football League. I mean, Butterfield, probably not, just because of his age. Scales, maybe, probably not. I mean, he was at Brentford, wasn't he? Can't see anyone moving on, to be honest.
No, I think there's obviously been interest from York in Denton. That was, I think he obviously turned them down, wanted to stay. That was sort of, I don't know, a couple of months ago now, I think. So that's all I've kind of heard. I know there's been a few clubs in for players on loan. I think Shrimpton's probably one of them. To a club in this division, I've heard that want to take him on loan. But at the moment, I don't think Jimmy would be happy losing anyone at the moment with the squad as thin as it is. I know we've probably got cover in there at central midfield with Pugh back and obviously Butterfield coming back in. But I think he does like Shrimpton. I think there's there's games where he chucks him on. Obviously, the Farsley game came on and did really well. And I think those kind of games where it's a bit of a battle do suit him. And I think there's probably going to be a few more of them before the end of the season. So I don't think he'll be keen for anyone to go if we can help it, given, you know, we can't actually bring anyone in, even if someone goes out on loan. It's not like we could say, you know, we'll loan one out to bring one in. It's just not going to be possible. So, yeah, we are where we are. We've got what we've got. Not ideal, obviously, but yeah, it's what can you do?
Just quick, we've got as well Richie Bennett and Carver both at Southport as well. I wonder if,
oh Christ,
I'd love seeing them at some point if things get any worse in the forward department.
Yeah, well,
Carver's doing well. He's got 8 or 9 goals. I know we got a brace yesterday.
Yeah, he took one of them really well. Yeah. I mean, there's an option. I can't see it, to be fair. I think with Carver, for whatever reason, Jimmy's not really fancied him, not really even had a look at him, really.
No.
He's just been out for the duration of Jimmy's tenure, really. So, yeah, I don't think he's fancying him. And obviously with Bennett, came back. I don't know if we really needed to sign him.
I mean, Jimmy must like him. He signed him twice.
but it didn't really make a lot of sense. I know at the time.
No, it didn't. No, it's a bit weird.
It was a bit weird, but he'd been training for a while, and I think there were, you know, there maybe was a few question marks on the fitness of the front two. So, you know, as a short term, it probably made sense. But obviously, not really had a look in apart from the Buxton game, wasn't it? When he played, the one that was abandoned.
God.
Yeah. Yeah.
The goal that never was.
Yeah. We have got options, but I can't see them two coming back, to be fair. And I think, you know, out of them all, I think Dion's most likely, if we can get that done, I think that makes sense to bring him back. But, you know, it may be that we've got to loan someone else out to get that one over the line. I don't know. They've got to do something, I think. And I know, you know, they're kind of working with their hands tied behind the back. But yeah, something needs to be done because we are getting a bit thin. And I think, you know, if it means loaning one out to get Dion back financially, obviously they don't have to loan him out. But if it means, if it makes it work financially, then I think it's something that they've got to explore.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we've had a lot of kind of tweets and questions in, and this is what normally happens. We get loads of people tweeting and stuff in with some really good questions. And by the time we get to the point of the questions towards the end of the episode, we've covered most of the stuff. So apologies to anybody who's tweeted a very, very valid question in, and we're not addressing it. It's probably because we have already addressed it in the kind of previous conversations. A quick look through them, actually. There's some interesting points made by Ben. Questions around players, you know, can Elliot and Whitehall play together up front? Interesting question. We're not really sure because we've never seen it, have we? Jimmy doesn't like two strikers. He likes wingers, he likes fullbacks, he likes forwards and centre midfielders, which means we don't really see Whitehall and Elliot together, even though, you know, kind of fundamentally you'd think that would work the way those the different types of strikers should work together, but we've never really seen it. And honestly, I would prefer Elliot to be on the wing against Tamworth if Jimmy wants to play both of them at the same time, personally. You know, should Wilson play more? I don't know. Is he good enough? What's the attitude like for Wilson? You know, what was Wilson like the weekend? Obviously, he started.
I think he struggled at times, to be honest. I think they're right back and right. I think Gash was playing right centre back. So if he got past the right back, he was running into Gash. He was just straight there, blocking him off. You know, he's only a small kid passing. Yeah, he did struggle at times. It wasn't an ideal pitch, obviously, so it's very hard for wingers to get the ball and take him on. But I just think he lacks a bit of confidence when he gets into that 1v1 scenario against a fullback. He very rarely looks to take him on. It's always a safe option, passing it back, and then we end up recycling the ball. Yeah. I'll just run straight into him, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's got a bit of pace, and I think yesterday we didn't really, because obviously Gash was playing centre-half, and you look at it on paper, you think, oh, great, bit of pace, you've got Elliot up there, you've got Wilson, you can get him 1v1, you can get him behind, and he's going to be struggling. But I thought, actually, he was one of their best players, and he read the game really well. He was there when he needed to be. At times, he just did enough, just putting them off, you know, just charging at them. And obviously, Wilson backed out of a few, which, you know, as you say, he's only a little lad. But at the end of the day, you just want to see him push the ball past them and get at them and try and take them on. And I think the second half, he was doing a little bit more of that. I think when Butterfield came on, getting the ball out to him, he was kind of a bit of an outlet for Butterfield. And Butterfield was getting the ball out there quite often. And he had a little bit more joy. But I think final ball wasn't great. And it wasn't just him. I mean, there was a few times yesterday, and I can't remember the last time we've kind of got the ball to the byline, or we've got the ball sort of edge of the box, and we're kind of looking for a pass, and we never really pick a pass out. And if we do, you know, we maybe once or twice yesterday, it fell to someone in the box and it's gone over, or, you know, Elliot's put one over the stand. And it's just, we should be making more of those opportunities. And I think that's the only real criticism I had yesterday, where we probably in the second half could have put it to bed and maybe had a few more goals. But yeah, Wilson for me, I don't know. I mean, I think
Wilson's just regressed a little bit from last season, to be honest, which is a bit of a concern. I think obviously it was a poor side last season, but he was one of our better players. Didn't want to sign a new contract because we're led to believe he had offers from National League clubs. And then obviously ended up re-signing. So, but now going into this season, seems to have regressed a little bit, which is a concern.
Yeah, I would agree with that, to be honest. I just think he probably is lacking a bit of confidence. I think that could play a part in that. I think the same for Elliot, really. I think, you know, I don't know with Elliot whether he's lacking confidence or he's just not a natural finisher. I'm not sure, because he's obviously had that one good season at Boston where he scored a lot of goals. But to me, he always takes the wrong option, or he's not quite getting his finishing right. I mean, that one yesterday when he kind of just, it was a back pass back to the keeper. You've got to do better with chances like that. And he could have had probably three on another day if his finishing was a little bit better yesterday. So whether it's kind of a confidence issue, whether not quite up to it, I'm not sure. But both of them disappoint me a little bit. I think Wilson could do better. I think if he kind of believed in himself a little bit more, he would have had the beating that right back yesterday. And I think he did a couple of times. He obviously got past him. But you know, the player with that pace, he's quite tricky. He's difficult. If you knock a ball past someone or get him behind, he's going to be difficult to catch, but unfortunately, it doesn't happen enough. And I think he's going to have a chance, because obviously with the injuries and things like that, we're a little bit short now. He's got an opportunity. You know, he's got to take it. And I think the only issue for me with Wilson at the back end of last season, he was one of them for me that he didn't down tools as such, but he didn't look particularly interested towards the end of the season. Obviously made it clear he was going to leave the club. And then he obviously didn't find anywhere and came back. And I probably wouldn't have re-signed him, to be fair, on the basis that he thought he could get a move elsewhere. But, you know, he came back in. And I just think, I don't know. For me, he's got an opportunity now, but there's no one really that could come in and replace him. And I think you can get a bit complacent if that's the case. And it's not as though he's done really well and he's earned that place in the side. It's because, you know, Smith's out, Law's out. He's probably third. He would have been third choice behind Owen.
I mean, he was nowhere to be seen, wasn't he, really?
Yeah.
The last few months until the last few weeks. So.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, that's the issue for me last season. For me, he didn't put the effort in towards the end of the season. I know there were a few in that kind of category. But, you know, he's got an opportunity now, and I hope he takes it. You know, he has got some ability. And he, you know, on his day, he can be dangerous. He can beat a man, but he's got to do it more often. And I think, you know, we're going to need that from him, because we've lost Smith, who scored quite a few goals. You know, he was winning with the assists as well. And we need more of that from Wilson. And if he's got the opportunity, he's got to take it, because Elliott could play out there. And for me at the moment, if I had to choose between the two, I would probably say let's have Whitehall down the middle and Elliott out wide. But it'll be interesting to see what Jimmy does on Tuesday night, obviously, because he's got a few options with Whitehall coming back. I'm not convinced Wilson will start on Tuesday. But yeah, let's see.
Yeah, just quickly to go through the. I'm conscious of time. We've been recording for about 3 hours at this point. another one from Ben as well. Quite an interesting one, actually. Is Kelly wasted on the bench? Could Denton be pushed further up and Kelly be at fullback? The weird thing about these two is, at the start of the season, I thought Kelly was going to be our number one left back. Maybe that was my naivety. He plays at this level, and then Denton's come in and he's been, you know, genuinely one of our most consistent performances. He's been excellent all season. He's got pace, hasn't he? So maybe he could play on the left wing, you know, but I think Jimmy really likes him at left back, and he does get forward quite a lot, the left-hand side of the pitch, and it does work, so he probably won't want to change it. And is Kelly wasting the bench? He probably is, but I've seen nothing from Kelly so far that suggests he's better than Denton. I think Denton is at least from what we've seen, the better player. So I don't think that Jimmy's going to make a change based on that. We've got one from Lank Cyan. Why do we seem unable to produce a whole game performance and seem to have to dig our results against much weaker teams? Is it the perception of the weaker team? Because he does go on to say we have no right to win every game, but with our squad, I would expect more convincing performances and wins. But I kind of, that's what I thought coming into the season. I thought, you know, at times we're just going to roll teams over. And we have done that at home, you know, Spennymoor, we obviously did it to Darlow as well. We've not really done it enough. But when every game against us from these teams is like their cup final, no disrespect, they raise their game so much, it makes it very, very difficult. We've seen that so many times, and it's very hard to play against that at whatever level you're at. You know, I mean, look today, Newport v Man United. Man United are shit these days, but, you know, for about 20, 30 minutes, you know, Newport looked decent. They equalised. You know, so any team can raise the game against any little team to make it difficult. And when that's the same every game of the season, it becomes a problem. You know, you've got to find ways to unlock defences. You've got to find ways to beat these teams who are very much comes like, this is our big day out to Glenford Park or whatever, makes it really, really difficult. So it's very much a different dynamic.
I think, obviously, at home we've seen we're very largely dominant. Don't want to keep going back to it, but some of the pitches we've played on this season have just been absolutely, I mean, abysmal. I mean, I know we're in the sixth tier of English football, so it's kind of par for the course, but it's very, very hard to play the type of football that we aim to play at home on the pitches away from home. So we've just got to find a way to win away from home, and that's what we've started doing in these last few weeks.
Yeah, absolutely. And it makes it more difficult, doesn't it? It's not just sometimes the weather's terrible. You know, you're playing on a ground that's close to the fans. The grass is awful. I guess the team worked very well for it. There's so many things that makes it more difficult than it should be, but it's just the way it is at this level. So there's always that to consider. Another one from David Taylor. Big game on Tuesday. Do we stick with our current tactics, or are we in need of tweaks? And in a lineup with our injuries, which players do we play? He says, in brackets, you'll probably cover this anyway. We have mostly, but I would say that I actually don't know what Jimmy's going to do on Tuesday. I would say, educated guess, it's going to be Whitehall back in, and it's going to be Elliott on the left, and obviously Butfield, Clunan, etc. Yeah. That is
I did think as well. I think Semifarris will be back in, so I think we'll probably have Whitehall up front, one of Elliott and Wilson, Butfield in behind, and Semifarris on the right.
It's quite a change, though, isn't it, from earlier in the season? You know, where Wilson's not been getting games, Semifarris not been getting games. Very, very different to what we're used to. So again, it's a risk, but the injuries dictate that. There's not much you can do about it.
I wouldn't be surprised to see Beeston on Tuesday, just because I think he does trust him, and you know, it depends whether he goes with Elliott out wide or carries on with Wilson. But I wouldn't be surprised if he puts Beeston out there, just because
he did well yesterday.
He did, yeah. I thought he did quite well. I think he had a good game.
Definitely took a few on, three or four. I remember he got past. So I think. Probably one of his better games from out wide. I don't know, fans don't like him out there. I don't particularly like him out there. But Jimmy does, so.
Yeah, I think Jimmy trusts him to do a job out there. I think that's the main thing. I think he does like him, doesn't he? I think, you know, he tries to get him on the pitch when he can. But But yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised to see him. But I think it all depends whether they can get Dion back and, you know, what he goes for. But I do think Whitehall and Butfield are going to be straight back in. I think that's a given, really. I don't think you can leave two of your best players out for a match of this size.
Especially because that was the only reason we got it cancelled in the first place.
Yeah, exactly. It's always a plan. You know, we're not going to turn around and say, actually, no, we're just not going to. We'll just have Elliot up front. Nah, it's fine. We don't need Butfield.
The big thing with Tamworth is that 80% of their games seems to be their win to nil. So they're very, very difficult to score against. I think the key is just finding a way to get a goal. So even within like the first sort of 10, 15 minutes, just to unsettle them, because the longer it goes on, the better it is for them. So I think we need a fast start, first 15, 20 minutes, get the crowd behind the team, something to shout about, and hopefully that'll see us through, settle on the way.
It's like that every home game, though. It's like if you get the early goal against these teams, not in every case, but most of them come to try and get a point, to try and set up to defend the part of the bus. You get that early goal, that game plan is in the toilet within 5 minutes. Do you know what I mean? We do seem to start fast. Like, genuinely, like, for the most part, we start fast. And I think part of the reason is just to get in behind them and try and get a goal early to unsettle them as much as possible for them to be able to have to change it. Actually, we're going to have to try and chase the game a little bit. So, you know, again, probably the same against Tamworth. And you're right, they don't concede many. So it's going to be tough. Even when we played them on the first game of the season, you know, we beat 2-1. But that was a battle, wasn't it? Yeah.
They're probably the best team that we've actually played this season. Obviously, we're part of the year around the first, but it's been a very good team. But I mean, they absolutely battered us all game on the opening day.
Yeah. And they, for the most part.
A fluky own goal right on half-time, and then a Whitehall sort of deflected over a kick. Apart from that, it was pretty much one-way traffic for a lot of that game.
And like, the highlight again for me was the Iron Fan that he knocked that guy out on the pitch and then he got kicked out and then he came back in over that fence. I just like turned around and like, oh, he's coming back in. He's like, what the fuck? He was scaling that wire fence and nobody bared an eyelid and he just went straight back and killed terrorists and enjoyed the rest of the game. I've never seen anything like it.
There was a few too many people under the influence on that opening day.
It was brilliant. But anyway, I don't condone violence at football games. But, you know, when we go to places like Tamworth, that's part of the atmosphere, isn't it? Sometimes. Mm. But anyway, you know, to answer that question, David, we have. And also, he does say, last podcast was brilliant. So thank you very much, David Taylor. Appreciate your feedback. And finally, we've got one from the Lower League Look. The Lower League Look, who did block me on Twitter for God knows why, like before the Hilton thing. I have no idea why. I think Matt got blocked as well. I didn't even know who they were. And then they just appeared again and started talking to me and said, do you want to come on the podcast? I'm like, yeah, I can, but you blocked me, so you sure? But anyway, I'm only joking. So they said, given how good things feel around the club now, would you change anything from the last 12 months? Well, probably. I mean, you know, having a despot in charge, you know. would you rather be a league above but with a much less optimistic feeling around the place, or do you believe, like me, that the last 12 months have made you better and stronger? Well, I think it's made the club stronger. It's made the community feel around the club stronger. We've got better people in charge now. We've got more qualified people in charge, not just from a business perspective, but also from they have the club's best interests at heart. They're not just like a con man who's coming to rip off fans and sell 18.99 memberships and stuff like that. So, you know, it's a very, very different feel. And to get to this point, we've had to come through extreme adversity, you know, come very, very close to losing the football club. So, you know, to have to come through that, I think we deserve to have something at the end of it. And we do. We've got a club that's still here. We're second in the league. We've got good people in charge and good people on the board as well, good people around the club. So, yes, it's made us stronger. Would you change anything? Probably quite a lot, you know, but there we are. Anyway, you know, we've probably run over the build time of whatever we normally do is about 40 minutes. We've done about an hour. The last thing I'll mention is don't forget to vote in the Iron Trust elections, the board elections. The deadline for that is this Friday, so Friday the 2nd of February. Jesus Christ, we're almost in February already. Holy shit, how did that happen? Anyway, thanks very much to everybody for listening, and thank you for your kind words on the feedback from the previous podcast. They will be more regular from now on, we hope. Thanks very much, Alex, for coming on for your debut.
Thank you.
Good to see you again, Matt. I don't know. I think the next one might be next week, and I know Matt's away this week. Of course, he's missing the Tamworth game because he's an idiot. But hopefully, be able to stream it. But yeah, thank you very much for listening, and we will see you again next time.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.